Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to KRBL Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jain, Chief Financial Officer of KRBL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you everyone on the call for joining us. Welcome to the Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call for analysts and investors of KRBL Limited. Today we have Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta, Joint Managing Director, and Ayush Gupta, Head of Domestic Division. Mr. Anil Mittal, who usually joins us on the call, is not available today, so his comments will be read by Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta. To kick off the call, Mr. Gupta will share the business, industry, and overall strategy. Following that, Ayush will delve into the perspectives of our domestic business. Finally, I will present a financial overview of the company for the fourth quarter and fiscal year 2023. Once the management has concluded their opening remarks, we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Please note that some of the statements made during the call may contain forward-looking information, and actual results may differ from these statements. For more details, you can refer to KRBL's investor presentation, which is available on the stock exchange websites and our company's website. Now I'd like to invite Anup ji to share his views. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Dear investors, good afternoon. In my prepared remarks, I'll be giving you an overview of the global rice scenario and then focus on the Indian rice industry and with further focus on the basmati rice industry in India. Thereafter, I'll discuss about the KRBL specific developments and updates. The world rice production in the marketing year 2022-23 is now forecasted at 512.6 million tons, which is 2.4% below the 2021 all-time peak of 525.1 million tons. This shortfall of 12.5 million tons in global production is mainly due to lower production in China, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Nigeria. The global rice trade, which had touched a high of 56 million tons in the year 2021-22, has come down to 53.6 million tons this year due to inclusive measures of countries such as India, who have banned the export of 100% non-basmati broken rice and implemented an export duty of 20% on non-basmati white rice. Such measures have restricted exports to African countries and China, who are the major importers of broken rice from India. Shifting focus on the Indian rice industry, India is expected to record rice production of 130.8 million metric tons in marketing year 2022-23, which includes 2022 kharif crop and 2023 rabi crop. The basmati production for marketing year 2022-23 is around 9.5 million tons, around 12% higher than last year. Despite the overall increase in rice production in India in both basmati and non-basmati segment, we have seen a general price increase this year during the crop cycle, which indicates growing demand for both basmati rice and non-basmati rice from India. India's basmati export has grown 16% in volume term and 46% in value term in FY23 over FY22. Volume growth mainly come from Saudi Arabia, UAE, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, USA, U.K., and Jordan. Whereas India's total rice exports grew by 6% to record volumes of 22.34 million tons and 24% in value term to rupees 89,689 crores, accounting for nearly 42% of the global rice trade. The main reasons for the increase in basmati rice prices were expectation of lower crop on account of unseasonal rains, limited carryover stocks were liquidated because of high prices, historically high export and domestic demand, historically high prices in Pakistan, perhaps because of sand floods, reduction in freight rates, rupee depreciation, high wheat prices. The international ocean freight have come down to one-fifth of the level that was seen 2 years back. The main reason has been simple availability of empty containers and vessels due to normalization in movement of goods across the world. Further, the delays and holdups at the various ports around the world due to lockdown measures have considerably eased up, leading to faster turnaround time for the vessel and hence an increase in supply of equipment. Many shipping lines have added huge number of containers to their inventory and added new vessels to their fleet. Talking about the future outlook of rice industry for the year 2024, as per the latest USDA estimate, global rice production is expected to be around 520 million metric ton in crop marketing year 23-24. Global rice consumption is expected to reach 523 million metric tons in 23-24 from 521 million metric tons in 22-23. As per the latest USDA estimates, India's rice production of marketing year 23-24 may touch 133 million metric tons, while India's basmati rice production may touch 10 million metric tons. The basmati production is expected to be higher in terms of acreage as basmati prices have been very buoyant. Consequently, for past 2 years, and farmers have been very happy with the prices they have been getting for their produce. But the main factor which has the highest impact on the production of rice is the weather. While IMD has forecasted a normal monsoon, SkyMet estimates a below average monsoon owing to El Nino. Although all these estimates are very preliminary and they are subject to change as we come closer to the sowing period, but India faced El Nino in 2014 and 2018, and in both the years the staple grain production was unaffected. Hence, we feel that the impact of El Nino will be weak. Now the KRBL financial performance. KRBL recorded highest ever annual consolidated performance. Total revenue is of 5,456 crores. EBITDA is 1,031 crores. PAT is 701 crore. Our exports revenue of 331 crore in quarter 4 23 against 280 crore in quarter 4 22. FY23 export of 1931 crore as against 1451 crore in FY22. Key export destination include 532 crore from UAE, which includes 375 crore unbranded, 414 crore from Saudi Arabia, 242 crore from China, 117 crore from Australia, and other countries also. And there's update on expansion. The Gujarat plant is expected to go live by June 23, that is the next 15-20 days. Karnataka, the land acquisition has been completed and the civil work has already been started. Madhya Pradesh, the land is identified, the token money has been given, and due diligence is going on in process. With this, I give to Ayush Gupta domestic remarks.
Thank you and good afternoon. I will now share an update on the performance of the India business. India business clocked rupees 932 crores revenue in quarter 4 financial year 23, which is a 38% increase in value year over year. With this, the India full year revenue grew at 26% in value to close at rupees 3,335 crores. The year marked a new high for KRBL, with our portfolio crossing a household penetration of 1 crore households landmark, with an 11.5% increase against the packaged basmati penetration growth rate of only 2.5%. This year also has seen us being recognized as the world's number one basmati rice brand, which further reinforces our global leadership position in the category. Further, maintaining its market leadership position in India across channels, KRBL clocks a volume share of 32.5% in traditional trade in the exit quarter, while modern trade registered a highest ever market share of 58% in the quarter. During the quarter, KRBL has expanded its numeric distribution by 75 basis points on sequential basis to 45.7%, with availability in 2.3 lakh outlets. We have also been driving our Unity brand as a value for money offering, which today stands at rupees 750 crore plus in the KRBL portfolio, with a 50% growth over last year. This GST rationalization measure implemented from mid of the financial year has given the HoReCa business strong tailwinds with a healthy 28% volume growth in the full year. I will now touch upon some of the key focus areas for our growth journey ahead. In our earlier investor calls, I had outlined our source of growth as loose basmati rice, which contributes close to 65% of the total in-home consumption of basmati in India. This presents a huge headroom for growth for KRBL in the domestic business. And being the category captain, we are unlocking this growth opportunity through strategic interventions. Consumer communication is one of the critical levers to drive this habit change. And in this financial year, we have pivoted our communication and media strategy around this. Starting quarter 3, our new advertising campaign, Basmati Rice No Compromise, featuring the popular Bollywood actor Pankaj Tripathi, has gone live with huge impact and partnerships on lead programs like MasterChef, Big Boss and Indian Idol. Secondly, continued distribution expansion up to 50,000 plus population towns is going to be a critical driver for sustainable business growth. We are working in a focused manner to expand retail footprint through manpower investments, implementing FMCG best practices to enhance secondary coverage and to have better controls in the market. The next important lever of growth is innovation and premiumization. One of the most important interventions from our stable this year has been the launch of a diabetic-friendly low GI rice. India being the diabetic capital of the world with 77 million diabetics, we believe that this product offering we are solving for a very important unmet need of the Indian rice consumer. And this has huge potential to scale up in the coming few years. In line with our premiumization agenda, we are also in a very focused manner looking to scale up our flagship variant India Gate Classic and building higher penetration at the retail and household front, especially on special occasions. Lastly, a key growth lever is the intervention of addressing our total addressable market from 15,000 crores to 35,000 crores with our foray into regional rices. Anchored under our master brand India Gate, Sona Musuri, Govind Bhog and Kolam Rice have been launched in the market and are garnering good response. We have already crossed the milestone mark of rupees 100 crores in the financial year 23 in the regional rice category. One other important tailwind expected to come for our business is the introduction of the new basmati standards by FSSAI with effect 1st August 2023. Over the years, due to mass commercialization, there is a significant amount of adulterated basmati available in trade, making the prime objective of this regulation to safeguard the integrity of the grain and maintain authenticity of flavor and taste. This regulation will have a number of positive impact within domestic business scenario. First, increased literacy within the trade and subsequently consumer on basmati quality. Second, eradication of players indulging in unfair business basmati adulteration practices, leading to consolidation of market shares amongst top branded players. And third, an accelerated shift from loose and unregulated basmati to packaged and regulated basmati. We see this as a watershed moment for the industry and expect this to be a significant growth driver in the coming years. With this, I come to the end of my remarks and I will now hand it over to Ashish, who will take us through the financial performance.
Thanks, Ayush. I will now take you through performance for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 23. All figures mentioned by me would be for the consolidated financials of KRBL. Total income for the quarter stood at 1,323 crores, marking a growth of 33% over the corresponding quarter last year. Revenue from operations grew by 30%, while other income in the quarter increased by more than 5 times on account of interest on income tax refund. Domestic revenue, as Ayush mentioned, increased by 38% over the corresponding quarter last year to 932 crores. Year-on-year basmati sales increased by 43%, driven by 18% growth in volume and 22% growth in basmati realization. On the export side, revenue increased by 18% over the corresponding quarter to 331 crores. Branded basmati sale increased by 11%, though overall basmati sales were flattish in value terms owing to no bulk basmati sales during the quarter. Total basmati sale volume declined by 14% on a year-on-year basis, but was offset by 19% increase in realization. The decline, like I mentioned, in volume was also because there were no bulk basmati sales during the quarter. Total value of goods dispatched during the year, but where revenue is yet to be recognized pending receipt of payment at the end of the quarter, was at 441 crores. This is the number as of March 31st, 23, as against 216 crores as of March 22. A significant portion of this is expected to be recognized as revenue in quarter 1, 24. Gross margin in the quarter was at 26.5% and was affected by a couple of factors. One of them is higher basmati unit costs and higher share of bulk non-basmati sale in exports. So bulk basmati, non-basmati sale was at 11% of rice sales in quarter 4 as against 7% of rice sales in the same quarter last year. Finally, for non-basmati sale, there was a contract which was cancelled by the customer and goods had to be diverted to another country and therefore resulted in lower realization. So these three factors, which is higher unit basmati cost as compared to same quarter last year, higher share of bulk non-basmati sale in exports and lower realization on a bulk non-basmati sale, resulted in the gross margin. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at 14% as against 17% in the corresponding quarter. The margin is lower primarily on account of trend in gross margin and a 10 crore additional expense on the non-basmati deal which I just mentioned. Finance cost for the quarter was at 7.8 crores as against 3.9 crores on account of higher inventory-led working capital borrowing and higher interest rates. PAT for the quarter was at 118 crores or 8.9% PAT margin as against 109 crores or 11% in the corresponding quarter. The number is lower on account of the factors that I mentioned and also because the effective tax rate in the quarter is higher as there was an MTM related loss set off which is not eligible in the taxable income. So in short, our taxable income was higher than the reported PBT, which resulted in higher tax. I will now share an analysis of quarter 4 versus the preceding quarter, so quarter 4 23 versus quarter 3 23. Revenue from operations in quarter 4 was at 1280 crores as against 1536 crores. The lower revenue is on account of domestic sales, which were lower vis-a-vis the preceding quarter by 64 crores, and export sales, which are lower by 194 crores. Domestic basmati volume in quarter 4 was lower as compared to Q3 as Q3 is festive season, while export volume in Q4 was also lower because no bulk basmati export was done in quarter 4. Quarter 4 gross margin is lower than that in quarter 3 on account of higher share of low margin basmati sales as compared to the preceding quarter, higher share of non-basmati sales which was at 11% of total rice sales in quarter 4 as against 3% in quarter 3. 2.3% higher average basmati COGS as compared to quarter three, while EBITDA margin was also affected by these factors besides the 10 crore additional cost on the non-basmati deal that I mentioned. Overall, adjusting for these factors, the trend in branded basmati sales remains strong, as Anubji and Ayush had mentioned. Now I will discuss FY23 performance. Total income for the period stood at a record 5,456 crores, marking a growth of 28% against FY22. Revenue from operations was at 5,363 crores, a growth of 27%. Gross profit of the company increased by 40% and EBITDA by 46% and PAT by 53% respectively. Domestic basmati sales volume, as Ayush had mentioned, grew by 6% while realization improved by 26%. On the export side, in FY23, basmati sales volume were marginally lower by 2% because of lower bulk exports, although the realization improved by 38%. In FY23, overall basmati sales volume for the company improved by 4% while realization improved by 29%. Moving on to the balance sheet highlights, total inventory as of March 31st, 2023 was at 4,186 crores, comprising 1,616 crores of paddy, as against 869 crores of paddy in March 2022, and 2,396 crores of rice, as against 1,800 crores of rice inventory in March 2022. In volume terms, paddy stocks were at approximately 407,000 tons and rice at approximately 404,000 tons. These numbers were 256,000 tons and 382,000 tons respectively in March 22. Inventory is higher primarily to meet the higher expected demand. Total bank debt as of March 31st, 2023 was at 138 crores as against 6 crores as on March 31st, 2022 due to higher inventory. Just as an update on the outcome of the board meeting with respect to distribution of surplus to shareholders, the board discussed various options to repatriate surplus funds and has sought professional opinion in this respect, post which final decision will be taken. This is expected to be completed in the next 4 to 6 weeks. With that, I come to an end of my prepared remark. I will now hand over to the moderator for opening the Q&A session. I will just like to mention that the ED matter is sub judice, so we will not be in a position to respond to queries on that matter. So over to the moderator now.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the first question from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 PMS. Please go.
Hello. Hello.
Please. Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. So my first question was, what we hear from various consumer companies is that consumer demand is low and uptrading is not happening, especially at the middle class and lower middle class level. We have a very large inventory at this point of time. In such a scenario, can you give some of your thoughts that the bullishness what we have is majorly in domestic market or exports market? And are we able to get our gross margins in absolute value terms per unit increasing for basmati rice even in Q4 in the domestic market? Because non-basmati is also a bigger proportion of our revenue and exports, it is difficult to really understand how successful we are on the branded side to transfer the pricing.
Yeah, Himanshu, thank you for the question. See, on the consumer front, the pressures and the inflationary pressures that you're talking about, you know, for basmati rice, I think these behaviors are quite muted because majority of basmati rice consumptions are happening in metros and tier 1 towns of the country. And rural and tier 2 towns are a very small portion of the overall basmati rice contribution. So on the overall trade, the impact of this is quite minimal for a branded player firstly, and then also for basmati rice as a category. Secondly, on the stock front, the stock position that we carry, that is for both export and domestic. I would say quite equally. So, it's not that we are over-leveraged on stock position for any particular...
And I would like to add here that we are holding stock at a very comfortable position. I mean the valuation. When you talk of the margins, even the stock valuation, what we are holding, is a very, very comfortable. So margins are not under pressure.
Okay. And secondly, again, the question was on Horeca distributor in Saudi Arabia. Last call, we stated that we should be able to confirm the distribution agreement here. Are we done with it? And how did that market perform for us with the new distributor? Means, are we back to the what we were doing in the earlier days, or there is still some gap to fill in Saudi Arabia market?
Yeah, Horeca is still not done, but the present distributor is not back to the same, but we are expecting that it will be done in next one or two quarters.
So just to add to what Anuj said, I think if you look at our value sales to Saudi, they are roughly 2x the number that we had in FY22. Right. So I think the distributor is performing on expected lines, but we expect the next year to be better.
Okay. Thanks for that. And one more thing, this is on slide 6, okay, where we have said that the margins were under pressure because of some contract which got cancelled. But was it such a big contract? Because nearly more than 1,000 crores of revenue for nearly 1,300 crores of revenue for the quarter, the margin got impacted, you are saying?
No, so I'll explain. So that was one of the factors. I think you are referring to the reason why the margin is lower in quarter four as compared to the same quarter last year. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, like I had mentioned in my speech, a couple of things happened. See, if you look at year-on-year basis, when we look at our average cost of goods sold for basmati, on a year-on-year basis for the quarter, the basmati COGS increased by 24%, while the realization increased for basmati by 17%. So to that extent, the cost increase has been higher. This is also partly because the product mix of goods sold in quarter four was, comprised a higher share of lower margin SKUs. So that is what is reflecting in the margin. Second, on the non-basmati deal that we had explained, so you are right, it was not a large contract. It was roughly the revenue size, the original revenue size was at 100 crore. However, the deal got cancelled and the goods had to be diverted to another country, which resulted in a lower realization. Second, there were some additional expenses related to moving the goods from one country to the other and then storing them till the sale happened. So while not a large contract, but this is an additional cost that we incurred in the quarter, which is what is reflected in the margin.
Okay, I'll join back in the queue. One small thing, this quinola, we are still doing or we have stopped that completely? Because
quinoa is still available in the market. It's available and it's doing good. It's growing year over year as product.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhant from Goodwill. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I think my first question regarding dividend was answered. Like, any reason why you have not declared it right now and 4 to 6 weeks later?
Yeah, so, I'll just explain. So, this time the board looked at various options that are available to repatriate surplus funds. you know, we discussed various options, but the board wanted a professional opinion to be taken. So we are in the process of taking that. We'll come back and present it to the board, and we are hoping that this entire exercise will be concluded in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So, okay. So in short, we're just evaluating various options, which is why it was not declared this quarter.
Okay, so deciding between a buyback and a dividend, essentially.
All options are on the table.
Okay, and my second question is relatively a follow-up. Like, you know, debt to equity used to be around 1:1. Towards in the last 5 years, we lowered it to 1:1, you know, the lower ratio. But now because we have essentially no debt, including no working, barely any working capital loans, you know, our ROEs are getting suppressed. So, you know, any sort of financial gearing or something that the company is looking at, or are we, you know, staying away from debt?
No, so, see, you are right. I mean, as we speak today, there is very minimal reliance on debt. In fact, where we are today, we have no debt on the company's balance sheet. So, I think the question really is on what is the company's plan to utilize these funds. So, one is, I think, a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. One is we are in the process of setting up 3 new plants, which will then require additional inventory for which funding will be required. Second is that we constantly look at acquisitions. So while there's nothing in the finalization stage, there is some amount of funding that will be needed at all. And whatever is remaining after that, I think that's what the board is looking at in terms of what's the best way to return it to the shareholders.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agrawal from Leeway Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is regarding broken rice. So we've been exporting broken rice to China. So what is the total amount of broken rice that has been exported to in this financial year?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
How is the government ban affecting our business for particular broken rice?
Sorry, Amit, we can't hear you clearly.
Mr. Agarwal, I would request you to kindly use your handset if possible, please.
Okay. We have been exporting broken rice to China. So what is the amount of total amount of broken rice that has been exported in this financial year? And the government ban, how is it affecting our top line because of broken rice?
See, Amit, we don't generally share country-specific revenue numbers.
But we told you 242 crore was the revenue from China.
Yeah, but I think Anuj had mentioned that total revenue from China was about 240 crores in the year.
So, broken rice was exported to China only or to some other country also?
He exported to China.
Primarily to China.
And my second question is regarding the realization of the basmati rice in the domestic market. Sir, the company has been saying that 17% is the more realization has been happened in the same particular year. But if you compare the retail pack pricing of basmati classic or some other categories, the change has been 9 to 10% per annum. So how is this realization coming 17%?
So I think the question is that the change in classic price here only is 9%, while we are saying that the realization is up by 17%. So how is that happen?
Yeah, Himanshu, see, basmati, India Gate Classic is a very small portion of our overall sales volume and portfolio mix. So while India Gate Classic price increase would have only been 9 to 10%, there are other products in the portfolio which have increased in high double digits, maybe 20-25%. So the net average realization is 17% on the overall domestic business. Certain product categories would have moved accordingly, you know, to consumer behavior and other factors.
So is there any more scope of raising the prices further, or I think this will stabilize at this point?
So yeah, being a consumer-oriented retail product, you know, try to maintain prices as stable as possible. But looking at the commodity markets, you know, we will keep evaluating our realizations accordingly.
And my last question regarding ITL fund. Sir, we have deposited 190 crores 2 years back, and we have got interest. Have you got that fund back, or is it still pending with the government?
No, for that, for those particular years, in that case, we've received all the funds back from the government.
So there's no refund that need to be accounted for?
On that particular matter, yes. There may be other refunds pertaining to other financial years, but on that matter, we received all the refunds.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumen Chaudhary from Jet 8 Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, this quarter we saw a significant decline in export revenue from the last couple of quarters that we have seen. Whereas one would have thought that one should have got the benefit of Ramadan also. So is there any particular reason why this has happened, and what is the outlook on this going forward?
Yeah, you know, as I'd explained in my speech, as of March 31st, we had about 440 crores of exports that were dispatched, but the revenue is pending recognition. Now, if we look at the same period last quarter, this number was around 220 crores. So, you know, as you are aware, we recognize revenue only once the payments are received. Now, so this additional revenue, most of this 440 crores will be recognized in quarter one. So if you look at export sales across quarter four and quarter one, you would find that the trend is being maintained. So I think it's a timing difference that has happened in case of exports.
So are we looking at a decent increase over last year? Say if we look at for the year as a whole, are we looking at a significant improvement in volumes and revenue in terms of exports in this year?
See, I mean, if you look at quarter one, I mean, you would recall that our exports in quarter three were at roughly above 500 crores. So we are hoping that in quarter one, which is the current quarter, we will come back to that level.
Okay. And just one small thing on realizations. If we compare like to like, would realizations have been slightly higher in Q4 vis-a-vis Q3 in exports?
They are very similar.
Very
similar levels. No significant increase vis-a-vis Q3.
Okay. And domestic also?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush Gangar from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question was on exports. Exports, as we have seen, exports have been a pain point since the last few years and have been quite frustrating. Even in this quarter, you mentioned that some part would be transferred to Q1. But then if 200 crores which should have come in Q4 gets transferred to Q1, that means Q1 is already lower versus our current run rate. So can you just understand what would be a sustainable growth or run rate for exports, say, for the next 1 or 2 years?
Yeah, so I will just, you know, give a short-term view and then a slightly longer-term view. See, you know, as you know, part of our exports also include bulk exports. So, you know, and that tends to be lumpy. So, you know, you may have quarters in which there is significant bulk export, and then you may have a quarter like Q4 where it doesn't happen. So first, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, that's primarily the reason why you will see export, you know, revenue moving. However, from a longer-term perspective, when we look at both elements of export, one is both branded as well as bulk, I think we see the outlook as bright. Because as Anupji had also mentioned, I think we're continuing to see strong basmati demand from countries, both for the package as well as non-basmati space.
Right, okay. And what would be the mix of bulk in exports? Can you share that?
Yeah, on an annual basis, we do about 800 to 900 crores of bulk exports. So out of the current year revenue of, let's say, roughly 5,400 crores, about 800 to 900 crores is bulk.
Okay, okay. And as you mentioned earlier, I think Saudi, our initial, before the business went down, our run rate was 1,000 crores plus, I think. And Anilji had mentioned that in a year or two, we hope to reach that figure. So are you confident from current 400 plus something crore?
Yeah, Yeah. So I'll just give a little bit of overview. See, I had mentioned that if you look at our Saudi sales in FY23, they were 2x that of FY22. However, you are right. I think there is, we are yet to come back to the earlier revenue mark. And I think our estimate is that in FY24, we should get there. So it's in the right direction, but still not where it was earlier.
And our earlier figure was 1,000 crore plus, if I know.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And the reason for other income being quite high?
Yeah, so quarter four, other income includes an interest on income tax refund to the tune of about 44 crores. That's why the number is high.
Okay. And this is the second quarter where we have seen a very strong domestic performance. Considering all the points highlighted. So are we confident that this has become a base now and we should, in spite of all the weakness in demand, etc., this has become the base now and we should, say, scale up quite significantly even from current higher level?
Yeah, definitely. I think domestic business, as I mentioned in my remarks also, has been seeing good tailwinds both in the bulk pack segment as well as the consumer pack segment. Our communication strategies, our distribution strategies are all working well. Brand penetrations are doing good. Consumer demand is well. So, you know, what we have achieved in the last two quarters is now become the base for us, and we'll be looking forward to build on it quarter on quarter.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Bang from Bryanston Investments. Please go ahead.
So first question is on modern trade. So this is the fastest growing channel for us. So how is the profitability and pricing in the modern trade relative to traditional trade? And do we see any challenges in maintaining profitability in this channel given the dominance and purchasing power this segment has?
Thank you, Varun, for the question. You know, modern trade and e-commerce channel actually for us is more profitable if I compare to the overall P&L account because expenses are quite less compared to general trade. So in general trade, we will have a lot of manpower and other expenses to cater to that wide spectrum of retailers. But in modern trade, because of the consolidation of supply chain and other effects, our cost tends to be lower. Also, modern trade and e-commerce, this category of staples is a, you know, I would say a crowd puller or a footfall driver, really. So these channels also invest heavily on these particular categories. So the cost of doing business, to sum it up, is lower compared to general trade.
Okay. And we've talked about densifying distribution reach. So can you quantify how many distributors and retail touch points we have added during the year? And we said we've reached 3.31 lakh outlets in traditional trade. So basis of acceptability, affordability, and the kind of stores that we target, roughly how many number of outlets can keep and sell branded basmati rice in India?
Yeah, so, you know, this year we've expanded our distribution network quite aggressively and to a number of 40% to reach a 750 plus distributor mark, dealers and distributors. So we have now 750 plus distributors and dealers in the India market. And on the outlet front, the current penetration of packaged basmati rice in India is about 7 lakh outlets. And as a brand, we are available in about 3.3 lakh outlets. So our objective right now is to obviously reach to a 60 to 65% mark of retail penetration. But eventually our objective would also be to push the 7 lakh number of the category to a million number in the next few years.
Okay. And typically what I've seen is in rice, typically there is a fixed per kg spread that we charge. Is it the similar way, do we price our packaged basmati rice or is it a fixed percentage that we mark up? So if you can just comment on how we price consumer packs and bulk packs, that would be helpful.
You're talking about modern trade or you're talking about general?
Overall, in general.
So our pricing for consumer packs and basmati in the segment is you know quite MRP driven, I would say. Based on consumer affordability at various price points, we've got products right from India Gate Classic to India Gate Mini Mogra 2. So you know that spectrum of products cater to all types of consumer demands, needs, and price points, and that becomes the basis of our you know product offering. But then compared to the blends and commodity prices, we keep on stimulating this you know forward.
Generally, we keep 20% margin for the retailer.
Yeah, on the MRP, a retailer gets about a 20% margin on our products. So that's also a norm that we follow.
Okay, so it's a fixed percentage markup what we look at.
Yeah, so you know, Varun, the way I would look, I think what Ayush, just to add to what Ayush was saying, see, in the rice market for basmati, there is a clear ladder in terms of various price points. I mean, India Gate as a brand is present on all the price points. And this has a very wide range. I mean, you can have the retail price of 200 rupees a kg for classic and then going down to 40 or 60 rupees. From a pricing point of view, one is we make sure that we are available on all these price points, make sure that retailer gets a 20% margin. I think finally, your question is that what is the impact of commodity prices in this? So, see, any staple brand is never immune from the commodity price, but we try to maintain the price as much as possible so that there is stability for the consumer.
No, that's not my question. I mean, my question is, do we look at a fixed spread that we charge on per kg basis, or is it a percentage per kg that we look at?
Percentage, not fixed. Percentage.
Okay. That is what I wanted to understand. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sharma from N3 Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. I'm just going back to this question on margin. See, what I understand is since we have been holding inventory and I think the pricing have been on an uptick and ignoring the other two factors, How does it work that in quarter three we could have a high margin and the cost suddenly becomes high in a quarter four? How does the calculation work? Just could you explain the model?
Yeah, so I think the answer really lies in two things. One is that the profile of our sales in quarter four. See, you know, if you look at the sales of higher margin SKUs, that was at, in volume terms, that was at 71% in quarter three, while in volume terms, it is at 54% in quarter four. You know, so that will have its own consequent impact on the gross profit margin. Second factor which I had explained was that we had lower than usual realization on a non-basmati deal because the goods had to be moved to another country and sold there. So that is the second factor affecting gross profit margin. The third is that from an other, you would see that there are additional other expenses which is also coming from the non-basmati that we have. So these three things together is what is really affected margin. These factors were not present in quarter three, number one. Number two, the overall volume of sale including export was much higher in quarter three. So these two things need to be looked at together.
Okay, but just on a inventory, we follow first in first out model. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, I just like to give a different perspective on your question as well. So between quarter three and quarter four, there is a part of sale that is you know what we call as aged rice or raw aged rice sale. So obviously that inventory is what we carried from the year previous to that. And, you know, our inventory cost would be quite stagnant on that. But there's a big portion of sale that happens in quarter three and quarter four, which is new crop, which is the parboiled rice and the steam rice. For those, because it's new crop, you know, and as you know, the crop season this year, the prices were quite high. So our input cost on the raw material was quite high. So that would be an effect between quarter three and quarter four that you'd see would be an impact on margins.
Okay, so one last question. what is the visibility you have, or it's a, you know, it's a very volatile, you can have a 8% margin and then a 22% margin. And so what is the visibility you have? And let's suppose you foresee that it will be a low margin quarter. Do you stop that? You only plan that, you know, we'll have only 20% margin, or, you know, it's an uncertain scenario as to how it will play out next quarter and next year. How much certainty you have in this margin trade?
Yeah, so I think, see, one is that just from a business principle point of view, we really don't engage in any trade or any, you know, any product sale which gives less than 15 to 16% margin, right? So directionally, all business is planned with that benchmark as the minimum margin. Now, you are right, from a quarter and quarter, there may be variance. One of these factors that causes variance is the quantum of bulk sales, especially export sale. You know, where we have limited predictability in terms of when that revenue will get recognized. However, overall what we aim for is that during the year, we maintain the margin in the 17 to 18% trajectory.
Okay. And one last, in terms of pricing trends, can you just highlight how has been the pricing and what is the outlook on pricing going forward? This is the finished... Or maybe the invent or the raw material, both could help.
No, we are expecting the new season in the month of October, November. Now the pricing are quite stagnant, and in the new season we think the prices will come down, definitely.
Okay. And despite that, we would want to have one of the highest ever inventory, despite...
This is the aged rice. I have told many times that aged rice is a different thing than a new rice. Aged rice has its own premium.
Sure. So I'm seeing the incremental inventory. I understand the aged rice, but we have built up inventory, and if we are expecting a price reduction...
So that will all be aged rice. It will have a premium. There's no problem.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jikar Upadhyay from Antica Consultants Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and my congratulations to the management for a good set of numbers. Sir, I have some very broad questions in terms of the overall... you know, the volume, how it is placed in terms of the India volumes and the export volumes. And how do we look at the margin when one wants to model it? Is it on a, do you track margins on a per ton basis? And if yes, what is the benchmark margin that you look at?
Yeah. So, you know, the EBITDA margin range that we look at is a minimum of 17 to 18%. So that's what we are hoping to achieve through the year. Now, like I had explained in the previous concept, now quarter to quarter this may vary because there is a lumpiness in the nature of bulk exports. But however, over the year, you can expect a 17 to 18% margin to be maintained.
Right. And would the margin for the export business be higher than the domestic?
Somewhat. However, you know, the reason is that the realization tends to be higher, but then the product mix is also different. Right. So typically it may be around 5% higher than the domestic business.
Understood, sir. And what would be the realization for domestic and exports broadly?
Basmati, you're talking about quarter four?
Even an overall picture for FY23 would be fine.
Yeah, so if we look at overall basmati realization in the domestic market, that was at around 74,000 per ton. This is basmati branded for the full financial year FY23. The same number for basmati branded in export was 1,30,000 tons. 1,30,000 rupees per ton.
Generally, the realization is, I got it. And this is to, the export part is to branded.
Yes. So both numbers are for branded sale.
Got it. And if I may ask lastly, what would be the overall scale in terms of the volumes for India and exports?
In terms of our volume sale?
Yes, sales volume.
Yeah, so domestic basmati branded sale last financial year was at about 370,000 tons. And basmati branded export sale was at around 90,000 tons.
Oh, got it, sir. And we are not into any kind of, is the traded or private label volume very high, or we prefer to focus more on branded?
Yeah, given that number, that out of roughly 5,400 crore revenue, bulk export is to the tune of about 800 to 900 crores.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hariom Patwari from GSM Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Proceed.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking up my question. My question is, what is the split of business between basmati and non-basmati in volume terms?
Yeah, so, you know, if we look at the domestic branded business, like I mentioned, domestic branded basmati volume was like 370,000 tons. The non-basmati branded was at about 21,000 tons. So 370 basmati branded in domestic, 21,000 tons non-basmati branded. In exports, basmati branded was at 88,000 tons, while non-basmati branded was small at about 5,000 tons.
Okay.
Any further questions?
No, that's it from my side. Thank you for answering my question.
Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Praveen from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations for good results. So, Mr. Ashish has said about something about the M2M. So, I just want to know, understand what kind of M2M he was discussing. And he has just informed that there is a 44 crore income of interest on tax refund. So, what kind of refund is it?
So, you know, the MTM loss that I was referring to is that, you know, we mark to market our investments. So on that investment portfolio, there was a notional loss of 3 crores. So the PBT that we reported was after adjusting for that loss. However, in taxable income, that set off is not available. So our taxable income was higher than the reported PBT, which is what resulted in a tax outgo. So when you take that tax outgo as a percentage of PBT, it appears to be higher than the previous quarter. So that is what I was trying to explain. The other income number you are referring to includes interest on income tax refund. So, you know, we have made disclosures on this case, but broadly it is, there were delayed refunds from income tax authorities on which we were entitled to interest, which was received, and it is recognized as other income.
And how much, your inventory is also mark to market, or as a normal level?
No, it is, we report inventory at lower of cost or NRV, which is net realizable value.
Okay, so is there any loss sitting in the inventory, or no? It is on?
No, on the contrary, as Anupji had mentioned, the market prices are far higher than our average inventory cost. No loss at all.
Oh, got it.
Any further questions, Mr. Praveen?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, thank you very much, members of the management team. On behalf of KRBL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.